Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
Isn't it wonderful to be a part of the body of Christ? To be a member of the Lord's church and to know that we have the forgiveness of our God and to be a part of that church family who loves the Lord. And you know, as we think in regard to those who love the Lord, it amazes me that we live in a world of skepticism and utter disbelief. Those skeptics contend that there is insufficient evidence to prove one way or the other as to if there is a God. Those who disbelieve, those who hold to tenets of atheism, just reject the existence of God. Good people, we live in a world that is totally confused about God. But as we think in regard to the confusion about God also, the religious world is confused about the existence of God. They believe that all churches are equal, that an individual can choose the church of their choice and that they will be pleasing and acceptable to our God. However, the Bible identifies from the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. In the words of the Apostle Paul to the saints at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, Paul says that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Clearly, Paul realizes that there was one true church that was established by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul had already said to the saints at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that He gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, the singular body. Good people, when we think in regard to the religious world also believes that an individual or that a group of people can worship God in any way that they might choose fit and that God will be pleased with that worship. However, Jesus said in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that God is spirit and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus also taught in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that in that day of judgment that many will say unto Him, Lord, Lord, in Your name have we not done all of these wonderful things? In verse 23, Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Why will the Lord say these things to those religious people in the day of judgment? Good people, Jesus said in the book of John, Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, He says that these people draw near to Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. Why did He say that? Because they teach for themselves commandments as doctrines of mankind. Good people, in all of this, they also contend is that one can be saved through faith only. However, Jesus clearly taught in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. In Peter's first epistle in 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 20 and 21, He clearly states that few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Even now we have an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not for the removal of the filth of the flesh, but for the answer of a good conscience before God. Our God says that it's not faith only that saves an individual, but rather it is a full belief in God, wherein that the individual is willing to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and that they're willing to submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. And good people, in all of this then, they come in contact with the blood of Christ. How does God feel about faith only? James chapter 2 and verse 24 says that a man is not justified by faith only. The only time that faith and only appear together in the Bible is here in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 24. And God tells us that man is not made right in His sight by faith only. Why do these people hold to these foolish beliefs and doctrine? Good people, because they hold to false views about the Bible. They do not read and study the Bible diligently to rightly divide the Word of truth. Instead, they want to add to and they want to take away from the Word of God. In all of these things, God's people are commanded to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And good people, in that, we must make certain that we study from God's Word each and every single day of our life. And then that we strive to make the application to our individual life, and not only to our life as a Christian individually, but also collectively as we assemble ourselves together. Those who hold to false views, the Bible identifies in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, is that they twist the Scripture to their own destruction. Good people, when we think in regard to the Bible is indeed the inspired Word of God. In fact, we draw this conclusion from what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work." Well, what does he mean in regard to saying that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God? Good people, that terminology, inspired by God, is theos neustos. Theos meaning God, and neustos literally meaning God breathed, or the literal interpretation is that to be breathed out. Our God has breathed out His Word unto mankind. What type of inspiration do we believe in the church? Good people, you and I believe in verbal plenary inspiration. This is taught in Scripture by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Also, Jude verse 3, wherein that we are saying is that God has literally spoken unto mankind in a verbal manner using holy men of God who communicated His Word unto humanity. The Bible not only identifies that it is the Word of God, but it also substantiates this in and throughout the New Testament Scripture. Good people, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, says, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." What is it that Paul is saying? Good people, he is declaring very aptly that the words that he was communicating to the saints at Corinth, but not only to the church at Corinth, everywhere that the Apostle Paul spoke, that these words were not merely his words, but rather that they were the words of God. How was Paul and the other New Testament writers able to communicate on the behalf of God? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we understand the holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. These men were enabled by our God to communicate His Word in their own words, putting into the words of God for the people to whom they were speaking. The Holy Spirit moved upon these individuals, with these individuals, through these individuals, for the conveyance of God's very direct message unto humanity in that day. But good people, not only to people in that age, but also to our present age. Our God has breathed His message for us, and that we have the Bible. And whenever we look and consider the Bible today, you and I can accept the Bible as indeed the inspired, inerrant, authoritative message given to us by God. How did people in the first century look at the words of the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers? Whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to the saints at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God." Paul says that whenever he was speaking to the saints at Thessalonica, because people, again, not only to these saints, but to every congregation that he spoke to, that they did not receive his words as mere words of mankind, but rather they were wise enough to recognize the truth of the message, and that this message was indeed given by our God. Today, the Bible is under attack. There are those who present arguments concerning the Bible, and they contend that there are contradictions in the Bible. In all of this, good people, we can conclude that there are not contradictions in the Bible. In stating that, we must admit, though, is that there are some things that are in the Bible that are hard to be understood, of which unlearned and unstable men again twist to their own destruction. However, those who are diligent students of the Word of God, as what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, can understand the Bible. Why? Because God has communicated His message to us in a very simplistic fashion to where any man, or woman for that matter, who is willing to sit down and read and study from the Bible can understand exactly what it says. We are able to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth in a manner concerning matters of doctrine pertaining to salvation. The people also, we understand, as we consider the arguments presented by those who are skeptical about the Bible, is that they contend that there is human error in the Bible. They believe that man is responsible for the Bible that we have today, and most certainly man had his hand in the translational process, but yet at the same time, we know that it was not man who was working, but rather God was working behind the scene to make certain that the words that we have, that they do not contain human error. They present that man is human, and to err is human, and most certainly, good people, as we understand, to err is human, but yet at the same time, again, as we attribute not the Scripture to man, but rather to realize that it is the Word of God, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, that with man not all things are possible. If it were only man who had set out to give us the Bible, by all means there would be error in it. But note also the context says, but with God all things are possible. And for that reason, good people, when we consider the Bible and the fact of its translation given unto us in our modern language today, we can conclude that it is given to us without error. Why? Because it is God-breathed. They contend that there are all kinds of translational errors. But yet at the same time, the Bible identifies for us that our God has given unto us His inerrant Word. Biblical arguments to contend such: we serve a God who cannot lie. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says that God is not a man that He should lie. And good people, not only that He should lie, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says that it's impossible for God to lie. The Hebrews writer exclaims the same in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, that God cannot lie. Good people, in all of this, we know that most certainly we serve a God of all truth, and therefore when we consider the fact that the Bible is His Word, we know that it is the truth that God has given unto mankind. In fact, in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What is that truth that mankind must know that will set them free from the guilt and the consequences of sin? Jesus said in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Good people, we are able to be sanctified. Well, what does that word sanctified mean? It means to be set apart, to be freed. It means to refocus our lives. And how does that come about? From the Word of God, which is the truth, from a God who cannot lie. But also we understand is that the Bible cannot be broken. Psalms 82 and verse 6 says that we serve a Most High God. And good people, the fact that the Bible cannot be broken in these things we understand is that mankind is not able to disprove the Bible in any form or fashion. John chapter 10 and verse 35. In fact, we understand that every jot and tittle of the Bible is very clearly stated and understood as we consider the fullness of the Scripture. In these things, the Bible cannot be proven to be fallible. Mankind has tried. In fact, as I stand before you today, I encourage you that if you question the Bible, the inspiration of the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible, or for that matter, even the authority of the Scripture, that you need to test the Scripture. And the reason that I state that you need to test it is because God challenges us, He encourages us to look at the Scripture and to examine the Scripture and to test it to make certain that indeed it is the truth, but not only that it is the truth, but that those who claim to communicate its message are telling the truth. And good people, in all of this, mankind will soon understand that indeed God's Word is infallible.
that man cannot prove that it does not claim or that it is not the Word of God. In fact, we are taught that the grass will wither and the flowers will fade, but God's Word will endure forever. Good people, not only do we understand that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and that it is inerrant, but we also understand that the Bible is the authority. What must we reject as Christians in the realm of authority? Good people, we must not accept the church as the authority. Why do I state that? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, we understand that the seed is the Word. The seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. What role does the church play in regard to the authority? Good people, you and I as Christians are to act as the pillar and the ground for the truth. We are the support. We are the foundation that upholds the truth. And for that reason, we need to know the truth so that we're able to proclaim the truth in a truthful and upright manner. In all of this, good people, we need to understand, as what the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, is that we are responsible for the conveyance of the whole counsel of our God. In fact, we also understand, as the Apostle Paul spoke to the saints at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Not the church making the decisions that will determine matters of doctrine, but rather that Christ is the authority. That Christ is the one who has the right, also who has the responsibility of calling the shots, if you would, in the church, of saying what is doctrine and that which would be identified as false doctrine. We must not accept the church as authority, nor should we accept human wisdom as authority. Why should we not accept human wisdom as authority? Good people, because man's ways are not God's ways. Man does not seem to have these days the wisdom of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, where he exclaims, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps. Jeremiah clearly understood that his ways were fallible, that his ways were not the authority in regard to what would be pleasing and acceptable to God. He knew that God was the one that he needed to turn to. And good people, today, whenever we think in regard to humans who strive for, who claim to have authority in matters of a religion or in the church, these individuals should be shunned. Why? Because the authority rests in our God. Man's wisdom will lead them down a way of destruction, and only our God's wisdom from the Bible will lead us down the path of righteousness and unto eternal life. I'm beside myself time and again whenever I think about the denominational world and those men in these denominational churches who will refer to themselves as pastors or who will refer to themselves as priests. Good people, the Bible does not authorize a minister to identify himself as a pastor or a priest. In all of this, we understand is that the pastors are the elders in the church, and the Bible is very clear to that. The priest in the church refers to all New Testament Christians. We are all a priesthood, a royal priesthood unto our God. Therefore, when we think in regard to those in denominational churches who claim to be the authority in the church, what is it that the Lord says concerning these individuals? Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, He says that these individuals have come dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And good people, when we think in regard to them, what is their agenda? It is that of destruction. It is to draw people away after their own self, versus leading them according to the way of our God. They are wanting to present themselves as the shepherd in the church, when in reality there is but one true shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. And most certainly we have shepherds in the church, and I use that in a plural sense in reference to the elders, but yet at the same time, elders in the Lord's church recognize the fact is that they are not the chief shepherd, but rather that the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ our Lord. And these men bow themselves, these men place themselves under the rule of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So So therefore, when we think in regard to denominational leaders, these individuals, the things that they say, the position that they hold, the direction that they strive to lead individuals or a group of church people in, these things need to be examined. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. The people, whenever they find that these things do not line up with Scripture, then these individuals also need to be dismissed as an authority in the church. What does the Bible say in regard to the authority? Why must we accept the Bible as the sole sufficient authority for matters of life and religion? Good people, because the Bible is the Word of God. And if we claim to be people who belong to God, if we claim to assemble ourselves together as the children of God for the purpose of worshiping God, then therefore it stands to reason, does it not? Then that we would turn to His Word as that authority that He has said He has communicated unto us. And therefore we accept the Bible on that ground within itself because of the fact that it is given to us from God. But also the Bible contains, and it is indeed, the Word of truth. John 17 and verse 17. Good people, you will not find truth in the words of mankind. You will not find truth in denominations. Will you find parts of truth? Yes, most certainly you will. We talked in our Bible study hour about how that in the denominational world, how that they will mix the doctrines and creeds of man with part of the truth enough to make it sound as if it is religious, enough to trick and to fool the hearts and the minds of some people. But yet at the same time, you will not find the truth, the full truth, the complete truth, the inerrant truth amongst these churches. Where must we find the truth, good people? Only in the Bible. Not in doctrines and creeds that have been established by church leaders or by some type of a church, but only in the Bible. And therefore, we must accept the Bible as the authority because it is the truth. But also, we must accept the Bible as our authority because it testifies about Jesus Christ, our Lord. John chapter 5 and verse 39. Why is that essential? Because Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. And good people, if mankind wants to have salvation, they need to stop turning to man. And they need to start turning to the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible testifies concerning Christ. It reveals who Jesus is. It explains to us what Jesus did while He was here. And good people, it identifies for us exactly what man must do in response to Jesus in order to have our sins forgiven and to live our lives aright before God so that whenever we stand before Him in the final judgment, that we shall spend eternity in heaven with our God. As we think in regard to the lesson today, I ask you, not what the world says, but what do you think about the Bible? In these things, do you believe that the Bible is indeed the Word of God? Do you believe that it is the inspired Word of God, that it is inerrant, and that it is the authority in all matters of life and also in religion? Have you obeyed the gospel? In that I mean, have you confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God? Do you truly believe that He is? Do you truly know that He came to this world as God, living here upon the face of the earth, not only as God, but also as 100% man? In fact, the Hebrews writer exclaims in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 that in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Do you believe that Jesus Christ lived here, that He bled, suffered, and died at Calvary's cross for our sins? Have you obeyed Him in baptism? But also, we want to ask, if you are a Christian, are you striving to live your life according to the way in which our God requires? If that answer is no, then you stand in need of the prayers of the church.
We learn from the book of James chapter 5, verses 13 and following, that the prayers of the righteous avails much. And if you're here today and you're a member of the body of Christ, but yet at the same time you've not been living your life in a way that would be pleasing to God, in a way that would confess Christ before man, then you stand in need of the prayers of the church.